أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه كادوا يكونون عليه لبدا قل إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحد ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا صدق الله العظيم. We are continuing inshallah with the same surah, Surah Al-Jinn. And today we are at ayah number 18 of this surah. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the importance of the masajid and the function of the masajid. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us of how people change the values of Islam. There are certain values that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When human beings forget those values, then they use the same names but with totally different understanding and different functions. It's very important to understand this topic, this subject, in depth and in detail, that how sometimes name takes over the reality, and the reality is totally hidden or forgotten. First thing, let us just look at the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ, and surely masajid belong to Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, do not appeal to anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masajid are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, never call anyone, never appeal to anyone, never pray to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First thing, let us just take the word masjid by itself and the function of it. Masajid are the places of sujood where we perform the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although, one of the miracles of Islam, or we should say the beauty of this deen, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, the whole world is made a place of worship for me, so my ummah can perform the salah wherever, in whichever part of the world they may be. Here we should understand a difference between this deen and the previous deen, previous religions. In the previous religions, we find that they did not have time limits for the prayers, but they had limitations of where they can pray. We do not have the time limits, we do not have the place assigned for the prayer, that's the only place specified for it. You cannot pray anywhere else, but the times are limited. And you can see the easiness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put in this deen through this. Just imagine, with our situations, how we pray and where we pray. If we were obligated to perform the prayers at the masajid, most of us, even at the end of the day, we won't be able to find a place to go and perform the salah in it. Either the masjid is locked and you don't have the key to it, or there is no masjid in the neighborhood or the person is so tired that he cannot travel for 15-20 minutes to go to the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for this ummah. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the function of the masjid is, the function of the masajid is supposed to be the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. That's the function. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. With this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah is telling us, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform salah in the haram, in Makkah Mukarramah, in the greatest masjid that exists on the surface of the earth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to pray only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people thought it's wrong. With Allah, you should pray to someone else also into the masajid. You should call other people also in the masajid, and you should worship some other objects also in the masajid. They thought that praying only to Allah is a mistake. Is against the function of the masajid to pray only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. So when they would worship their idols in the masajid, it was okay and it was accepted. But when there is a person who is not doing anything else, all he does is a prayer. But instead of praying to many, he is praying to only one. They are finding a problem and having a problem with him. Just imagine, taking it even from their perspective and from their understanding and from their point of view, what is it that they used to think need to be done in the masjid and by the Kaaba? Worship. This is what they used to say, that we worship there. So they all agreed that this is what we need to do, is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in the worship, some of them are calling three idols, some of them praying to four idols, some to 50, some to 100. What's wrong if a person comes and he prays to only one? He's doing a prayer. But their thought is against the function of the masjid to pray to only one. They should pray to many. So they consider that against the function of the masjid. This is what I was saying many times. We keep the name and we change the values and the understanding of it. How far should we go in understanding this and explaining it? If we just go towards our souls, human beings were created for a function and for a purpose. We kept that name and we changed the function. And you take everything in the world, we are just putting things upside down. The most important thing in the world is the least important today. And the thing that has no importance whatsoever is considered to be the most important thing in the world. When someone comes to the masjid, we tell them, as a respect of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep your shoes out. Don't walk on the carpet with your shoes. We ask them to keep it out. Today we have a function for these shoes, values to these shoes, importance of these shoes. But human beings have no value, no function, no importance. Even shoes, our shoes and slippers are more important today than, unfortunately, than our souls. We change the realities of the thing. I know why do I have shoes for, but I don't know why do I exist for. Millions of people around us, and we our souls. 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, we are out of the house. Come back in the evening, 5 or 6 o'clock or sometime later. Tired, we don't know what to do. Not able to do anything. sit in front of the TV, have little dinner, then just keep on watching the TV until you go to sleep. That's the function of a human being nowadays. Work, bring some money, keep on paying your bills, eat, drink, and go to sleep, have little rest so that you can work the next day. That's the function of a human being nowadays. It's a machine. Human being became a machine. A money-making machine. This is the function of a human being. A machine that makes money. Any machine that will make this money, it's valuable, is more important. The more this machine will make the money, the better machine it is. The less it produces money, the less important the machine is. This is how we value human beings like us. A person drives to us, to our home. It all depends what type of car he drives. And his value is according to that plastic and metal that he's driving. We go and visit someone else's home. It all depends what type of house he has. And his value is according to that dirt, that dust, that wood that he has in the framing of the house. That is the value of that human being. We kept the name, we changed the function. And I cannot go into the example of each and everything, but here we can understand, if we just change the function of human beings, then of course, the next step is, we change the function of believers also. What believers are? What do we stand for? What the mu'min is supposed to be? And what mu'min is today? The name is there. The function is different. Same thing we have done to the masajid, to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we started changing the function of our masajid. This is exactly what those people did also, the people of Jahiliyyah. That when they saw a person doing just the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they thought, it's not approved. This is not what we have this place for. And with our situation with the modern Jahiliyyah, we thought that even that name is not that suitable, so now people even disputing about the name of the masajid, should we call it a masjid or just call it a community center? And people argue for hours and for days. Should this place be called a masjid? Or we should just call it a community center? Why call it community center? Because if we call it a masjid, now one of the imams will come, one of the scholars will come, one of the muftis will come from anywhere in the world, and he will say, you know, this is a masjid, you should respect the masjid, these type of functions are not allowed in the house of Allah, you must respect it, and then they will tell us we are not allowed to do the certain things that we have been doing in the masjid. So we'll say it's a community center, a small room for the salah, and rest of the place is for, I don't want to say, but that place is to please Allah and this place is to please Shaitan. We have two different places in the same building. One room is for Allah. The other room is for Shaitan. And you decide which way, which room you want to stay in. We have both places for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, He reminds us of the fact, Masajida lillah. If it is masjid, then it's for Allah. Now do not say, this is what I want or this is what you want. Masajid lillah. Masajid, all of them, they belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you come to my home, I ask you to sit in one of the rooms, you tell me, no brother, I would like to walk into your kitchen. I will be offended. My family is there. You can't get in there. This is my home. You have to respect my way of my lifestyle. You have to respect me. And in order to respect me, you'll just sit in the room that I ask you to sit in. You know that I have two bathrooms in my home, but I asked you to come with me, follow me because you want to use the bathroom. I said, here, this is the one. You say, no, I would just go to that one. I said, no, come over here. Someone else is there. That's for the family. There are some other people who would go there. Here, you come over here. You use this one. So when you come to my home, You follow my instructions because that's my home. When I come to your home, I follow your instructions about the house, that this is where I sit, this is what I eat. I'm not going to open your freezer, your fridge, and instead taking the food out, and here you have a microwave, and I'm going to warm the food and eat it myself. No. It will be only what I would give, I will give it to you. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, that masajid lillah, these places belong to me. When you come over here, you follow my instructions now about the place. And if you are in my home, then you are my guest. Don't think that you are a host. Don't think you are a host. You are a guest. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. And if you're a guest, don't try to be a host. Just be a guest. Do what you're supposed to do as a guest, not as a host. And the host is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The instructions are given in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person came to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the group of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. He's only a villager, doesn't know nothing about Islam. He goes into one of the corners of the masjid and starts urinating in that corner. Sahaba were offended. But who would be more offended than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself? Because the more you love the place, the more offended you will be. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw that situation, he asked his Sahaba to stop, not to hurt him. Let him finish now. Because if you would try to stop him now, he might try to run from you and just spoil the whole masjid. Let him finish. He's done. He says to Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi wa sallam to clean the place, and he teaches them how to clean it. Now he calls that Sahabi. He calls that villager. He says to him, these masajid are not built for this purpose. These masajid are built for dhikrullah, for remembering Allah, for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you were doing in that corner of the masajid were not built for this. And in our deen, we do not establish the masajid for that purpose. How beautifully he's putting it. And that mistake of that villager becomes a lesson for all of us. That now whenever we are about to do anything in the masjid, we have to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, is this thing allowed in the masjid? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is my house. And he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us how to deal with his house, how to respect his house. And remember, there are certain things in Islam that are called sha'airul Islam. Remember the words. They are called sha'airul Islam. These are the major signs of Islam. And simply means, even if the thing, if the place is cheap, even if according to the orders of the Sharia, it may not be full, but it deserves a lot of respect. It deserves a lot of respect from the believers. Just like Adhan. Adhan is one of Sha'airul Islam. If anyone will make fun of this Adhan, he's out of deen. Same thing, masajid are Sha'airul Islam. These are the major signs of Islam. And accordingly, they deserve that respect. As soon as that respect goes away, and we start disrespecting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not honor those people. Remember the words. I do not make big statements, but reality is there and the facts are there. If a person would come to my home, would not respect me in my own home, and does not just sit where I'm asking him to stay, and he tries to just go all around the house without my permission, he is not welcomed into my home next time. He is not welcomed into my house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave us that sense of understanding, of organization, of behaving. That little sense that we have, we do not appreciate and approve of someone dishonoring us in our home. Imagine how much of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. It's a quality. And it's a quality that has to be there. It's supposed to be there. And that quality, of course, in the goodness, who can exceed and who can even get close to or can even think of having that quality that is will get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never approve anyone coming to his home and then dishonoring the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disrespecting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why there is a hadith in a book called Al-Madkhal. Ibn Amir al-Hajj, he narrated a hadith over there on the authority of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us, when a person comes to the masjid and he starts talking about worldly things in the masjid, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stopping others from doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disturbing those who are trying to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an angel says to that person, Uskut ya waliyallah, O friend of Allah, be quiet. Don't disturb others. And this is not the place to go into these type of, indulge in these type of conversation. If he does not stay quiet and he continues with those type of things, right away the angel says to him, Uskut ya adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, be quiet. Are you here to disturb the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah invited them for a different purpose and now you are coming and just taking the whole point away from them? You have a meeting. You set a meeting at your place. You invite people to discuss about some important topic that you have in your mind. Therefore, you select the people who would come to your home for that meeting. As people came, you find one of the people, he just tries to take people away from the point. And he is trying to just oppose the point for what you have called them. And he is always trying to bring different points that are against what you are trying to put in there. Against the point that you are trying to prove or at least bring to table. How offended we would be. And we would try that keep this person away now. Although I thought he'll be my friend, this is why I called him. Or I thought he'll at least be respectful, this is why I called him. But next time, I don't want to call this man. Here we come to the house of Allah. Not only that we disrespect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose for which He has invited people, we deprive people from following that. We keep them away from it. This is when the name is there, the facts are forgotten. The reality is not there. We have forgotten the reality of it. We have forgotten the reality of the masajid. How many ayahs you find in Quran where Allah says, they belong to me. They belong to me. This is not a normal word. Today, when we are those who live in a country, they say this is our country. We protect our country. We protect our assets. We protect our honor. We protect our valuables. We protect our families. Allah says, this is my home. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. Who can be more wrongdoer? Who can be worse than a person? Quran speaks. We are not bringing it from anywhere else. Quran speaks. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. Who can be worse than a person? Who prevent people from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own houses. Who prevent the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the house of Allah. وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. And he works hard to destroy them. How would we destroy them? Not necessarily bringing the roof down and demolishing the buildings and the windows. As soon as the purpose is taken away and the purpose of it is not fulfilled, we have destroyed it. and many times we become the cause for people from staying away from the houses of Allah. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. And again we need to remind ourselves of the same ayah. Who can be worse than a person who prevents people from remembering Allah in the house of Allah? Allah says, I do not take that. I do not accept that. Either don't call it my home, my house, masjid, or allow people to do the ibadah of Allah there. Open it then for people. Let them do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned 7 type of people, and only 7 categories of people, who will be under the shadow on the Day of Judgment. At a time when the sun will be only a fist away from people's head, and people are sweating badly, and they're into their sweat, up to their ankles, up to their knees, up to their chest, or up to their mouth. 7 kind of people will be under the shed on that day. And one of those kind of people is رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A person whose heart is always attached with the masjid. He's always thinking of going to the masjid, going back to the house of Allah, going back and doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. This is establishment of the masajid. Establishing of the masajid is not only building it or having it, having beautiful construction and beautiful designs in the masajid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid was the best established masjid in the world. And try to picture how it looked like, the simplest masjid of the world at the same time. The simplest, but the most established masjid in the world. Which masjid can be more established and better established than the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Quran speaks. Allah speaks. Allah is talking to us. Subhanallah. What a beautiful thing it is when He talks and we listen and then we obey. He says, only those establish the houses of Allah who believe in Allah. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Who believe in Allah. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And believe in the last day. And they establish the salah. وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Not only that they perform the salah, they establish it perfectly. إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ. And they pay the zakah. And they do not fear anyone but Allah. Those are the people who establish the houses of Allah. مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Mushrikeen will never establish the houses of Allah. Why? They may put up a construction, but establishment of the masajid is not in putting up the construction. Establishment of the masajid is by fulfilling the purpose of that house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, building it has a lot of reward, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever will build a masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will build a house for him in the Jannah. Subhanallah. What a great reward it is. And if Allah tells us that I have a house for you, He's not going to deprive us of our house in the Akhirah. That is what simply the hadith means. That I have built it for you. So inshallah you'll go over there. But at the same time when we are talking about establishing it, we need to understand establishing it is by doing what we are supposed to do in the masajid. Nowadays, our masajid are crying. They are crying for a sajda. They are crying for adhan. They don't hear adhan. We don't hear adhan in our masajid. We don't see the saf in the masjid. We don't see the jama'ah in the masjid. The masajid are vacant. If today a non-Muslim was to come in our masajid, and spend a month in our masjid, ask him to write a report. What does he think by seeing the function of the masjid? What does he think the masjid was built for? And he might say it was built for Jummas and for Taraweeh prayer. And if we go a step further, then we have a Sunday school also in it. That's it. Any other function? Sorry. No. Whereas, if we look at the function of the masjid, it wasn't supposed to be only one day a week. When we borrowed a lot of things from other religions, we borrowed this also one day a week. There is also something that we have borrowed. And therefore we thought it will be enough to go for Salatul Jama'ah. That's it. As we break our relationship with the house of Allah, remember, gradually our relationship with the deen of Allah also breaks. If we break our relationship with his houses, our connection with him breaks also. The more we visit the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closer we will be to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something, in fact, the establishment of the masjid, and that's a whole topic by itself, that what are the functions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established for the masjid? What are the functions of the masjid that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established during his time? It wasn't only that if you get a chance, come and do the salah and run out of it. Imagine when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sees the saf not being straight. The saf not being straight at the time of Jama'ah. What did he say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, either straighten up your saf, or Allah will break your hearts apart and you would never be together. وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبَكُمْ. Do not break the saf and do not have crooked saf. Otherwise, your hearts will break apart and will never be united. If our hearts cannot be united by not having a straight saf, although they are in the saf, but the saf is not straight. Imagine if we don't even stand together at all, and we don't even come to the house of Allah together, when our hearts are going to get together? Then we expect that we hold a meeting, and then we all unanimously agree to a point. It would never happen. We never stood together. Our hearts are broken apart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the masjid, and he told us the function of the masjid is when you have the saf, you stand straight, you stand shoulder to shoulder, your hearts will get together. We didn't use it. We didn't use the masjid for that purpose. So our hearts broke apart. Now we complain that we are not able to do anything as a community. How would we do it? Who would we do it? Who's going to do it? Our hearts are broken apart. So this is one of the very important functions of the masjid, is bringing the sense of unity, of community, of ummah into the ummah and into the Muslims. But that thing does not exist anymore. That function of the masjid is totally lost. It's not there anymore. Remember, the deen of Allah will be established through the houses of Allah. The servants of Allah will be united through the houses of Allah. And if that is not there, these things will not be established. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a beautiful lesson, practical lesson, when he migrated to Medina Munawwara. What do you think the first thing he did was? Did he build his home? We all know, no. In fact, before coming into Medina, he stopped for some days in Quba. While he was in transit over there, he's in transit in Quba, he asked them to build a masjid over there. Now he comes to Medina Munawwara. the first thing he does was build a masjid over there. After building the masjid, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in started building the houses around the masjid. Anas radiyallahu anhu again narrates a hadith narrated in Kanz al-Ummal, a beautiful book of hadith with a collection of over 46,000 hadith. The hadith says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, houses that are closer to the masjid, comparing to those that are away from the masjid, they are valued in the sight of Allah just the way a mujahid and a person who's sitting at his home. The difference between that person who's out, mujahid, and a person sitting in his home doing nothing for the deen of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is how much different it is between a house next to the masjid, close to the masjid, and a house that's away from the masjid. There is a beautiful hadith. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi have narrated that hadith in his tafsir, Ahkam al-Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahabba Allah azza wa jalla fal yuhibbani. Whoever loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should love me. If you love Allah, you should love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَلْيُحِبَّ أَصْحَابِي. Whoever loves me should love my sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, my companions ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَلْيُحِبَّ الْقُرْآنِ وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَصْحَابِي فَلْيُحِبَّ الْقُرْآنِ. Whoever loves my companions should love Al-Qur'an. And whoever loves Qur'an, فَلْيُحِبَّ الْمَسَاجِدِ. He should love the masajid. Why? That's the beginning point. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues to say, فَإِنَّهَا أَبْنِيَةُ اللَّهِ أَبْنِيَتُهُ. These are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the foundations of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا مَيْمُونٌ أَهْلُهَا مَحْفُوظٌ مَحْفُوظَةٌ وَمَحْفُوظٌ أَهْلُهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these places are blessed. And those who visit these places are blessed. These places are protected. And those who visit these places are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we lost all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Masajid belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once you go to the masjid, when you visit a masjid, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not appeal to anyone over there but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not do anything in that place except doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a person came to the masjid and he announces in the masjid, because people normally get together, as normally we also think the same way, that you know, we get together in the masjid, so let me make the announcement so people will be aware of what's going on. So he comes into the masjid and he says, have anyone seen my camel? It was a red one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may you never find it. May you never find it. Because Allah, because these places are not built for this purpose. Don't use it for your personal thing. These are the houses of Allah, built for the purpose of doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he gave us also the same instruction. He says, if you find a person who's announcing of lost items in the masjid, tell him, may you never find it. Otherwise, we would lose all the respect of it. We will use it just for our personal things. As it gradually happens. Unfortunately, the situation have got so far that many times we find we are gathering in the masjid, in the house of Allah, we get together. In that gathering, you might have 100 people, in jama'ah, you have 50 people. What happened to the rest of the 50 people? Where did they go? they came to the house of Allah, but rejected the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah called them for a purpose. They rejected it and they came for their own purpose. We totally misuse this masjid, the word masjid, and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the Sha'airul Islam, remember, I'm going back now. When Sha'airul Islam, the Sha'air of our deen, the major signs of our deen are disrespected, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the respect of those people away. He takes the respect of those away who are disrespecting his houses and disrespecting the major signs of Islam. In one of the gatherings, we had a large gathering, a conference somewhere else. It was about a masjid. Vandalism in the masjid. I said to the people over there, I said, remember, if at this time it's important to stop the vandalism in the masajid, at the same time it's more important for us that we establish our masajid that we already have and that are established and that we have no problem in them. Otherwise, it's not people. Allah will take the places away from us. Allah will take these places away from us. Because we become the people and the cause of disrespecting the deen of Allah and disrespecting the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that as he goes to the masjid over there, he goes by the Kaaba, he wants to do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of the Jahiliyyah are saying, no, you have to do some other things over here. You cannot just do the ibadah of Allah. Do certain other things in order to fulfill the purpose of this place. And do what you are supposed to do in the house of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching them that no, the houses of Allah are built for this ibadah, and this is what I do. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. When the servant of Allah, who is this? Abdullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The word Abdullah, when it is said by Allah, when it is said by Allah, and especially said about a specific person, it's a word of love. A word that shows the close relationship. Normally we say, I'm Abdullah, I'm the servant of Allah. But subhanallah, when Allah approves of it and He says, you are my servant, I have accepted you. وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. And Abdullah should always be doing the ibadah of Allah. He should be doing the service to Allah, service to the deen of Allah. He should be doing the worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah of Allah. Through the ibadah, we become Abdullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person who becomes his real servant. And therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mi'raj, He invited him all the way to a point where even Jibreel alayhi salam says, I cannot get there. So close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he informed us, the ummah, about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's journey. Of course, he is telling us of one of the most important events that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the most important miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled a lot during his lifetime. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically talking about this journey when he was taken for Mi'raj, for Isra and Mi'raj, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Glory to Allah who took who? He didn't say who took his messenger. He didn't say he took his prophet. He didn't say he used any other word that would show how selected he is. He used the word, Abdihi, my servant. I took my servant. I brought my servant back to me. I talked to my servant. In other words, that was an approval for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ibadah. And what can be a better title than this? when Allah would approve of someone's ibadah. So, Subhanallah asra bi'abdi. Glory to Allah who took his servant. So, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ. When the servant of Allah got up to appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى. They surrounded him with the crowd that you are not allowed to do this. So they surrounded the person who is doing the righteous thing and who is fulfilling the purpose of the house of Allah, and rest of their whole crowd in the house of Allah is those who don't even know the function of the masjid. This is what Allah is saying. But then he gives this instruction to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. See, I only pray to Allah. I only appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I never associate partners with Allah. So no matter what you people see, I would only do this. Because I'm not at your home, I'm at his home. إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. I can only appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot do anything else in my life. I cannot do anything else. That's the only thing that I'm created for. As I was saying, when we forget the realities, then we just use the names. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to this world to remind people of the realities that they had forgotten. The forgotten realities. All this is what the whole Quran is about. When again and again we find, Quran tells us, أَفَلَا يَتَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Don't you ponder? أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you understand? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you use your brain? And these type of ayahs, what's all of this is about? This is to remind us of the realities. But use your brain. You understand. You have some understanding. Use your brain. This is what you are for. If I have a pen in my pocket that doesn't work, I throw it in the trash can. I throw it in the garbage. Because it doesn't write. No purpose of keeping it with me. It's a burden on me. And we are created for no reason and no purpose. So realities need to remain there and need to be reminded. And we need to talk about these realities. We need to come back to our realities. And another very important reality that we need to remind our souls. As we come to the masajid, we are the servants of Allah. And we follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the purpose of the Quran? What's the purpose of this book that we are talking about? Is it to recite it when someone dies? Which is the normal function nowadays? If you see people sitting in the masjid, you find a group of 15, 20 people, they are in the masjid and they are reciting Quran, you should know that someone might have died. Otherwise, these people would never be sitting over here reading Quran. They would be somewhere else. And if they are in the masjid, then they would be chatting about something else, not reading Quran. But someone died. Or a person buys a new home so that he can get some blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's get together and recite Quran. This is the function of it now. So it needs, I mean, in other words, it's just revealed for those functions to satisfy our desires and our souls that I fulfilled the right of that person by reciting Quran. I got the blessing of Allah by reciting the Quran. But where is it? Where is the practice of it? Allah sent it just for us to just read it and get a little blessing of it and that's it. The purpose have changed. The realities have changed. When realities change, then of course, doesn't change only from one side, changes from both sides. When we don't do the right things, then we don't get the right results. From these ayahs we have learned today, that we as human beings, we forgot our reality. As Muslims, we forgot our reality. As we forgot the reality of the book of Allah. We forgot the reality of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. after ignoring, forgetting, and disregarding all of these realities, now we say, Ya Allah, how come you are not helping us the way you were helping Sahaba Ridwanullahi Majma'in? We are the same believers. Remember, Allah did not change. The book did not change. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah, did not change. If there is anything that have changed, that's us. We are the people who have changed. Everything else is still there. And the realities of Quran is still there. The promises of Allah are still there. Everything is there. It's only we are not there for it. The conditions are there, but they are not met. They are not met by us. We are not fulfilling those conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have applied over there and have mentioned in His book. We have ahadith. We have the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the complete life history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know so much about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this ayah really applies to us. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. That those who have been given the book, Jews and Christians in those days, they know him, they recognize him just as they recognize their own children. Today, if we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the information we have about him, about his lifestyle, we can recognize him the way we recognize our children. But does our lifestyle match that lifestyle? Or we just recognize and we are not following? These are two different things. Knowing is different than believing and practicing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again requires from the believers that you need to practice. Without practice, you can get nowhere. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانِ لَفِي خُسْءٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That condition is there. No deed will be approved if it is not according to the instructions given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go against it, will not be approved. No matter how much money we put in it. So unfortunately, when we talk about masajid, and many times we discuss in our meetings and in our homes, and our worry is the masajid. So most of the time, if you really look at it, and I always talk about realities, no secrets. We talk about realities, and this is what we need to talk about and understand. What is it that normally we worry about? Where the donation is going to come from? For how long are we going to keep it open? Who's going to clean it? Who's going to keep the maintenance of the masajid? I mean, these are our worries. We think masajid are run by money. We think masajid are run by these financial things and by worldly things. No, they are run by the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are established by the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, money does not make people. People make money. Money does not make people. People make money. If people would come, money would come. Everything else will come. People will say, we'll wear our jackets if there is no heat, we'll perform the salah in the cold. But we are going to establish the salah in the masjid. And you can keep all the heating on and people are sleeping and they don't want to wake up and come to the masjid. Establishment is not financial. Of course, those things have to be taken care of. Never look down at those things and never forget the importance of them. But when we talk about establishment, they're run by these things. The function, they're run by the proper function. It's just like having a doctor's office. A doctor's office. You have to have a doctor there. And then you have to have sick people visiting it. If there is no doctor, no purpose of sick people coming and visiting, and it won't, the purpose is not fulfilled. So, financially you can support it. A person might have, any of us might have financial ability of establishing 10 different offices in the most expensive areas of the world. And I would say, I would open an office, a doctor's office there, another attorney's office over there. And I would like to keep also an architect's office in one of the most expensive areas. And someone asked me, Where are you going to get the architect from? No, I won't have no architect over there. It won't be no architect. But I'll keep the secretaries over there. Well, I have the money, so I'll keep on paying the bills for the heating. The door will open. She's going to open the door in the morning. Put all the equipment there. But we are not going to be giving people the service from that place. So what are you going to do with it? Same thing. If people are not going getting the service of the place, and service of the place is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do not attach ourselves to the house of Allah, to the houses of Allah, and by coming to the houses of Allah, if we do not attach ourselves to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will always be away from it. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us the importance of attaching ourselves to the masajid, he says in the hadith, and the hadith is extremely strong and important, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I feel telling some of my youth, some of the young people, gathering some wood for me, and then I would ask someone to lead the salah in the masjid. Who's saying this? Rahmatul lil alameen is saying this. The one who was sent for the mercy and as a mercy for the whole world is saying this, that I feel like telling someone else leading the salah, and I would go and see the people who are staying in their home at the time of salah and burn their houses. I feel like burning their houses because they are not coming to the house of Allah. It shows the importance of establishing this relationship between us and the houses of Allah. And really, taking it in a real sense, as soon as a mu'min will hear the word, this ayah, will take the few words of this ayah, he would never be able to keep himself away from the masjid once he would hear the beautiful word when Allah says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. This is my place. If it is an important person in the community and he invites us, we feel grateful. If a senator invites us, we are thankful. President invites us, everyone talks about it. You know, our imam, our president, our sheikh, he was invited in the White House. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. We are invited where? To the house of the King of the Kings, of the ruler of the rulers, and of the honor of all of these kings and rulers. If we just understand his greatness, we would never be able to keep ourselves away from it. When he says, this is my home, and I invite you to come to my home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once he said in the hadith, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَرْتَعُ. When you pass by the gardens of the Jannah, you must eat some fruits from there. What a beautiful hadith. When you pass by the gardens of the Jannah, eat something from there. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in said, Ya Rasulullah, where are those? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the gardens of the Jannah are the masajid. These are the gardens of the Jannah. So Ya Rasulullah, what does eating the fruit of it mean? He says, حَلَقُ الذِّكْرِ, that the gatherings of the dhikr, of remembrance of Allah, where people get together, they talk about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they talk about the book of Allah, about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those are the gatherings, which means join those gatherings, even if it is for a short while, you get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just like eating the fruits of the Jannah. So who would be able to keep himself away after knowing all of these facts and realities? As we have to force ourselves to come now, after knowing these things, our iman should be such that now we force ourselves to stay, but stay away, and we say, no, I have to go. I mean, there is something forcing us. Now, in order, if a person has some emergency, he will be forcing himself to go and fulfill the emergency because he's not able to go to the masjid. So, this is the reality of the thing, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this beautiful word, and how beautifully He puts it, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي. Tell them, I would only be appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would never associate any patterns with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you people have to say. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. Tell them, I do not control any harm or guidance for you people. I have no power over harming you or benefiting you. I wish if you people would understand what I'm saying. That's all I can do. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inform them, tell them that I wish you people would understand what I'm saying. But you people still don't want to believe me. Still you don't want to understand. Still you don't want to practice. Salaam liku lakum darran wa la rashida. I do not control any harm or guidance for you people. If Allah has not given you the hidayah, what can I do for you? If you are not willing to accept it, I have no power of putting it into your hearts. Allah didn't give me that power to put it into your heart. All I can do is that I have to convey the message to you. قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. See, if Allah, no one is going to protect me against Allah, if I would listen to you and do the things that you are asking me to do in the house of Allah and disrespect the house of Allah, disregard the orders of Allah, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. In spite of being a prophet of Allah, no one would be able to protect me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His punishment. The Prophet of Allah is made to say this. Who are we then? Who are we? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him that declare it. Declare it to public. Come out and say it. And it's not only I'm telling you, قُلْ O Muhammad, although I'm telling you, go ahead and inform the people, inform your ummah that Allah asked me, Allah told me this, and He asked me to inform you that this is what He said it to me. How about you people? قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. If I disobey Allah, and I do things against the will of Allah, and I misuse the house of Allah, لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. No one is going to protect me against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. And I would not find any refuge except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where I can run away from Him? If I'm not in His home, doesn't mean I can run away from Him. So, a very important message for all of us to understand the importance of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially importance of the function of these houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how important function they play in our lives, in the life of the ummah, and ummah is gone away and lost the help of Allah and lost a lot of things only because of losing the connection with the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not understanding the purpose of the masajid and not fulfilling the main theme and the goal and the spread of the masajid for which the masajid are built. And we were asked to build the masajid. Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa wa yudhkara fiha smuh. يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are the houses Allah ordered أن ترفع, that they should be established. وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ, and people should remember Allah in His houses, in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, and the reason I'm writing this ayah at the end of the session, so that we can go back with it, think of our masajid, think of our souls, and see if this thing does exist in our lives and in our masajid. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا. In these places, in these masajid, there are people who are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When? Is it on the day of Jum'ah only? يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. Every morning and evening you find people who are sitting over there and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who would do it? What type of people would do it? رِجَال لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْهِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Only certain people, those people, such type of people whom their businesses, their trade does not keep them away from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from establishing the salah and from paying the zakah. Because يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They are afraid of the day when everything will turn over, their eyes and hearts will be trembling with the fear when they see everything and the punishment of Allah in front of them. So they fear the day when they would see all of that. Therefore they establish the masajid and day and night they go into the houses of Allah to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establish the prayer in these masajid. today, unfortunately. A letter is enough to call us to a meeting. One letter or one phone call, we will run to the office. There is an emergency, the beeper starts beeping, and we run to our offices. We'll pick up the phone right away and call, and there is an emergency in the hospital, we'll run to the hospital. There is emergency from home, we will run to our home. We'll leave everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us, Hayya ala salah, come to prayer. Hayya ala falah, come to success. I have your success. Allah is inviting us. I have some success for you. If you come to me, you will see some success in your life. And we say, I don't have the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of the deen of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to fulfill the purpose of the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us for the service of his deen and for the understanding of this deen, and keep this hidayah with us throughout until we die and we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this hidayah and with this iman. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.